Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I see a couple of new faces here this morning that I haven't seen in a while. And we welcome you back home. It's nice to see y'all here. And God bless you as you strive to serve Jesus here. Maybe we can pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause here this morning. We thank you that we're gathered together here in your name. We thank you that you have brought us together. We thank you for the work that you have done on the cross for each one of us individually and together here, that you have brought us together through that. Just pray, Lord, that you would have your way. We pray, Lord, that as we listen to the preaching of your word, that you would apply it to our own hearts and lives and make us into the people that you want us to be. We thank you for the words that were already shared here this morning, and I just pray, Lord, that we would take those things and learn from them and grow in them, Lord. Lord, we do desire to commit this service to you, this time of teaching to you, and we desire that you would receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to, this morning, again, to turn to 1 Peter and just continue in 1 Peter here. We've been spending a bit of time in chapter 2, and this morning we're going to turn to chapter 3. And as I was looking at this passage here, I want to look at the first 7 verses of this passage. The thing that stands out to me is, and I think we've heard some of that through the message earlier this morning, is servanthood, humility, and surrender. And if we just come back to chapter 2, we see Peter teaching that not only we look at chapter 3 and he's speaking to the wives, but he was teaching that to all people. I believe if we look in chapter 2, we see here, verse before I go into that, a verse that I would like for us to grab onto and to claim this morning is in verse 9 of chapter 2, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That verse, I believe, this morning is for us. And it's not because that we were a special people, but we are a special people because we're part of Christ. We have given our lives to him, and therefore, we are a chosen generation. God's eyes is on each one of us here this morning. And he has a plan, and he wants to use you and bring us together and use us as a shining light to bring other people to himself. So we look in verse 12 here, when we think about servanthood, humility, surrender, that Peter is teaching to, I believe he's teaching in many cases here, he was teaching new believers. In verse 12, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And I think what he's saying there, that you might have usually done things a certain way, but because of your life with Christ, because you're a Christian, you're doing things differently now. And people are going to take note of that. And perchance, one day, it's going to click in their mind that this person, there's something different driving him. There's a different reason that he's doing it. And it's, I see it coming from his heart. And hopefully that will wake people up and say, I want to be like that. He speaks of that in verse 13. He's talking about submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That we have respect to our governments, and there's a reason for that. And then he goes on to, in verse 17, tells us to honor all men, to love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So he's just encouraging us to have a different, we're different, we treat people differently than what the world does. It's not just about me, but it's, we are considerate of people. And in verse 18, he's speaking to servants, to, in many cases, I think the people that he was speaking to here probably were slaves. And he's saying there, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So he's teaching us how to work through these things. And it's not always going to be easy. And verse 21 to 24, he reminds us the example that Jesus gave us. And he's saying that we're to strive to live that way and show people Jesus, just like Jesus was living. And by us taking that on, we can also show people Jesus. Now turning to 1 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 7 verses here and then come back and look at these verses. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning, a plaiting of the hair, a wearing of gold, or a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. A phrase that I would like for us to remember, that I believe that Peter was teaching here in these chapters, and that is that self is to be governed by the Holy Spirit and not by flesh. And the beginning of chapter 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so, as people, as that is something that we're going to constantly having to guard against, to analyze. Is my life being governed by me, by my ideas, by the things that I want, or is it being governed by God's word and his Holy Spirit? And Peter, I believe, has been teaching all people to live in the Spirit. Let Jesus shine through you, and don't be guided by your desires and feelings and your fleshly thoughts. In chapter 3 here, I believe, again, I think that Peter was possibly teaching wives here that in some cases had unbelieving husbands, and he's giving them direction on how to live. And we look at the very beginning here, the first two couple of words in chapter, verse 1 here, likewise, ye wives. And it makes me believe that he's bringing forward some of the things that he was teaching in chapter 2 and saying, for you, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So, obviously, we know that if living like this, if he's teaching someone to live like this, if you have an unbelieving husband, then this is also a good thing to do if you have a believing husband. But I think he's trying to give encourage the wives here that might have been living in difficult situations, and saying, this is how you should live. He's saying submission is supposed to be part of your life. Honor your husband. Live a reverent life before God. And so how are some ways that we can do that? Obviously, if a wife is living with an unbeliever, telling him the things that he's doing wrong and the things that he should be doing is probably not going to work. And so I think, in essence, what he's saying, stop preaching. Stop preaching to your husband. Stop telling him all the things that he should do or shouldn't do. But instead, start living a life that shows that Jesus is changing you. That's personal. Start living a life that shows that Jesus is changing you. Peter was teaching that in chapter 2. He's saying the way that we honor the king, the way that we submit to our government, the way that we serve our masters, whether they deserve it or not. And there's a reason that we should be doing those things, and that is to show them that we're doing it for something much greater than these people, that we're doing it for Jesus. And I think he's bringing the same thing into marriage here, that you may, that your life will show them something outside of you. Submission is not a reward for your husband's good behavior. And that's something that is easy for us in many areas in our lives, is to say, well, in this area, this person deserves such and such. And so we take on that. But I believe that we're not to go down those roads. In verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So basically our lives are, the way that we're living is going to speak volumes. And that is what Peter is trying to teach us, is that it's not the things that we say as much as the things that we do, how we respond in life, that is going to speak volumes. Verse 3, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, a plaiting of the hair, a wearing of gold, or a putting on of apparel. Trust not in your outward beauty. I think what he's teaching us here is you're not going to change him with your outward beauty. And so, but rather focus on your life. I don't think he's teaching against dressing nicely and being beautiful, but he's saying here that the adornment and outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or a putting on of apparel isn't going to do much for you. And it's not going to win the battles that maybe you're tempted to do. Verse 4 here is the focus that he wants us to have, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. So when life, in verse 1 and 2, he's teaching us how to live and how we're to be an example. And then in verse 3, he's saying, don't focus on these things. Don't do these things, because they're not going to help you win someone by doing these things. But verse 4 is again, it is bringing it personal. It's bringing it to me. It's not, my focus isn't on people around me, but it is about me. And he's saying to focus on that, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And the things that he's talking about here is not something that I've come up with myself, or that it's not a fleshly thing, but it is a heart that is changed by Jesus and saying, make sure that you hang on to that and walk in those things. Verse 3 is things that I can control. I can make myself be beautiful on the outward, and that it will bring attention to myself. And we are, I think, in many, many ways, that is what we want to do when we want to take control of things and we want to do something to make ourselves feel good. And I think we're all very used to doing that, or can be in the flesh. We take on something that is outside of verse 4, and that is what he's teaching against, that we wouldn't do that. And we all have different tendencies in that. In here, he's teaching about outward adornment. There's things that I take on when life is, feels like life is out of my control. I can take I think for me, it's taking on, if I just go and work hard, I can forget about whatever is going on. And I know that can be true it's true for probably all of us. We take on something to forget about what really is happening. And that is a distraction to us. And I think Peter's teaching us not to do that. But let's hang on to verse 4 and focus on the things that the Lord is teaching me, and live the way that God wants me to live, and that it would be the things of the heart, the Lord teaching me, and letting that shine through. That meek and quiet spirit. I think Steve was bringing that out this morning, is the meek and quiet spirit is when we meet up with someone and we see Jesus living out of them, we see a meek and quiet spirit. And I think what that's saying is, we're reminded about the Lord, and I want to live for the Lord. And that's the impact that it has when we're living that way. It makes us think about God and want to live that way. Verse 5 and 6, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. So, giving an example of other godly women and to follow them in the way they were living. And I think we do well to have people that we look up to. We can find plenty of women in the Bible that show us, but I believe he's teaching us here to do that also amongst ourselves. We have people in our lives that we believe are following the Lord, and we are encouraged by them. We invite them to disciple us, to help us live the way that verse 4 is teaching us. And then verse 7 here is now talking to husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice verse 7 there. It starts in likewise. Verse 1 starts in likewise. And I believe that he, again, he's talking about, he's teaching servanthood, a heart of humility, a life of surrender. And he's been teaching that all along. And in verse 7, as he starts addressing the husbands, I believe he's bringing that in and teaching us that we should live like that. We have a responsibility here that we see in verse 7. It says how we should dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In the flesh, when we're living by what our feelings and our human desires tell us, if we listen to that, we will do these things. If we determine in our own minds that she deserves that, that's probably, I would guess, dare say that we would all agree with that, that that's fairly, that's a human nature. That's how we would, if we were to make a judgment, that's how we would decide whether we should or shouldn't. But Peter's teaching that this is how we're to live. This is how we're to respond. We're called to live this out. Says to dwell with his wife. And as I was pondering that, what is he trying to say? And I think he's saying that you're to be at a place where you want to spend time with her, giving honor. How do we give honor to someone? Show her that her input has value. When do we choose to show that input has value? As I was processing that, and when someone tells me something that makes me feel good and I like, it's easy to hold that person up and to honor them, and because they made me feel good. But I think when the rubber really meets the road is when someone has, and here it's speaking about husbands and wives, when someone has input into my life and it might not feel good, but it's true and it's shared with concern or love, and I can, or maybe it's even in opinions and there's a disagreement, and we can walk through that and show that we care and that we put value to those opinions and ideas and learn from them. Those are really, really amazing times when we can give honor in that. The next one there is talking about understanding your wife. Understanding. When we think about understanding, we think about taking the time to learn about something. If I don't know what a particular thing is and it doesn't make sense to me, and if I value whatever that is, I will take time and study on that subject. And I will learn. I will learn why it goes that way. And I think he's teaching us here that your wife is important and you need to understand her. You need to study and know what she's thinking and what she means. And those all show value. Teaches us in verse 7 that she is the weaker vessel, physically weaker. Recognize, and I think when we look at that, is to recognizing what is hard for her may not be hard for me. And this could include physically, it could include emotionally, but I think as husbands, it is our responsibility to identify those things and to recognize them and acknowledge them and embrace them, not come against them. When we identify that, we are putting value. We're putting value on that person, and he's teaching us to do that. That we are, and the last one here in this verse says that we are heirs together of the grace of life. I think what he's telling us here is that with God, that in the sight of God, we have equal value. In the sight of God, we have equal value. So we consider that. The way that we treat our spouse do we show that? I think that's what he's teaching us here in verse 7, is that with God we have equal value. The way we treat our spouse is supposed to represent that. That we don't put ourselves, like, we don't come across as I'm bigger and better, but that We have equal value, and God teaches us that. And the final part of this verse says that we're to do these things, and that your prayers be not hindered. So failure to work through verse 7 and to live these things out in our lives, the consequences of that is that our prayers may or will be hindered. So as I was just processing that, if I don't represent God's character well, that is what God is looking from us as husbands, as we live life together as a married couple. He's counting on us. He's counting on us to do that. He wants to represent himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, as he was teaching us here, in verse 21 and following, Peter showed us who Jesus was, how Jesus lived, and that we're to be an example of that. And yes, we're human beings. We're not going to do it perfectly, and that's not how God is going to judge us. But he is holding that up for us. And as we fall short, we come to Jesus and repent of those things. So, with God, we have equal value. We believe that. And as husbands, the way we treat our spouse, I believe that God is wanting us to represent that. That we would show that we value them and that we believe that we don't have the upper hand. Yes, God has put in, has a plan in that we are to be the leaders. We're to be the providers. And we have different responsibilities. That is not what he's talking about here. And so just want to encourage us as husbands to consider these things and to, because we are, the way we live this out, we are showing people who authority is, who God is. And we affect people in that way. Just a couple of verses that I want to leave with us here in closing. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And then going down to verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I think that's the that's the message that he's leaving with us here in First Peter, is that we are reminded that we are in Christ, we are equal, and we're to represent each other in that way. In Ephesians chapter 5, going down to verse 25 and following, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself. So these are just some of the things I believe that Peter is teaching here. And as we consider these things, if we're governed by the flesh, we're going to find ourselves struggling, and we're going to be affected by selfish reasons, and we're going to think along the lines of things. When people like us, we want to do those things. When we're doing them solely for, well, I want to please my master so I get a pay raise, or I'm looking for something in return. And I used to think, well, if I don't get caught, then that's okay. We want to be in marriage. We want to be loved in return, and maybe we don't see that. Peter is calling us out and saying, some of these aren't bad reasons. We like to be loved. We like to be appreciated. But if that's the only reason that we do these things, if that's what we're seeking for, and that's the most important thing in our lives, it's not going to come out right. Peter is teaching us to do them for Jesus. And yes, there's benefits. We're going to be rewarded by doing those things. In many cases, we're going to touch hearts, and we're going to be blessed in many ways. But there's, at the same time, we can't always be guaranteed that it's going to bring the results that we want. As I honor my government and honor the king, doesn't mean that I'm going to be always treated fairly. And as I live honorably from work from my master, and whether he deserves it or not, it's not a guarantee that he's going to return it. And as I do as a wife, as a husband, as I do what Peter is saying, it's not a guarantee that our spouses are going to return it. But if we do it for the Lord, it will, I believe, we will, we do have an opportunity to show them Jesus in every one of these situations. And that's what Peter is teaching us. And as we, as our hearts open, are open to the Lord, they will remember. May God bless each one of you.